you guys remember back, I don't know, 5 years ago, you started hearing the phrase all the time, we must protect our democracy, protect democracy. Let's go to Ukraine and protect democracy. Donald Trump's a threat to democracy. Democracy, democracy. I realize there's something really wrong here. The bottom line is they are using the language to subvert you, to mock you, as they steal your liberties and your freedoms. This is what it's always been about, right here.
In short, America was founded not as a democracy, but as a constitutional republic. We pledge allegiance to the republic, for which our flag stands, not to a democracy. The Constitution requires a republican form of government for all states, but does not mention democracy, and neither does the Declaration of Independence or the Bill of Rights. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic and transforming it into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of American principles of government. As Benjamin Franklin left the State House in Philadelphia on the closing day of the Constitutional Convention, a woman asked him what kind of government the convention had given America. And Franklin replied, a republic, if you can keep it.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Friday. I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
And we are the Unrefined Guys. Two guys who know a little bit about a lot of things, don't know a whole lot about one particular topic. Does that remind you that, like, the whole tone of that soundbite kind of reminded me of when we used to watch films when we were in grade school?
Oh, those cool days where
they were the reel-to-reel films, and it would always jack up, and they'd hear him skipping and stuff. Well, as soon as I heard the tone of that guy's voice, it was like, took me way back to like third grade when they wheeled in the, you knew it was a good day then, you're going to watch a film is what we called it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it turned to a TV on a cart that was strapped to the cart.
Or bolted.
Or bolted.
Depending on what school you went
to. Yeah. I never understood how that didn't fall over. Like, we beat the hell out of those carts.
Yeah.
They should have fallen, that's for sure.
Yeah. I remember in our middle school, it was bolted, too. Yeah.
It sure was.
It was like a 32-inch
32-inch TV screen. That sucker was probably 250, 300 pounds.
Yeah, easy.
They're going to steal that.
And they're going to have the whole school watch this 32-inch screen.
Yep.
How come we were always out in the corner where we couldn't see it? And so that's why we were fucking around.
I think that's right. Or we just knew we were going to fuck around anyway. So.
That's true. We went over there ourselves.
What an amazing... You know, and that soundbite that the gentleman referred to that played in the end there was from the early 50s.
Yeah, that's why I was asking you earlier when you played that for me. I was like, how old is that?
It was from the early 50s, and
so they were warning us then.
They've been warning us for a long time, and I think that the reason that stood out to me so much and I wanted us to kind of, you know, touch it a little bit.
That's not today's show. That was Wednesday's show.
We're still going to touch it. It's ours. We'll touch it if we want.
It's mine.
My pee-pee, damn it.
You touch yours, I'll touch mine. We call it recess.
Or or marriage sex. That's just when you walk down the hall and avoid each other and say, fuck you on the way by.
Well, I get laid a lot then.
A lot, right?
Thumbs up for you.
When you start thinking about listening, we've talked about words and language and definitions previously, and democracy.
Right.
You hear all the politicians. It's not just Joe Biden. It's all the politicians. You know, this is a threat to our democracy. This is paramount to our democracy. This is this to our democracy. And if you do this, we're endangering our democracy. Well, okay. I don't care because we're not a democracy.
Right.
The whole point of...
Some of us who have actually studied, you know, our civics understand that we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. So we're not letting those words get to us. But the problem is, like he was saying in that clip, was they've done it with other words. And they do that all the time to devalue it or to get you used to it. And then all of a sudden change it on you. Because a democracy... And there's certain countries, they're democratic mm-hmm. in the way that they do their elections and in the way they hold their government, but technically they're socialist.
Oh yeah.
So like Greece is a good point, or good one to point out. They're technically a democracy, but that's where we get our democracy mm-hmm. is from Greece, by the way.
Right.
Our idea of what we do here came from
Greek and Roman. Yeah. Yeah. You think about when you said that you kind of nailed it down. They changed the words to devalue them. We've seen it with this trans movement. We've seen it with racism recently boiling up again. Yeah, we see it all the time. And like you said, those of us who understand it know that democracy doesn't mean what they think it means.
No,
but the kids of today are going to hear democracy. And eventually, perhaps, they could say at some point, well, we need to get rid of the Electoral College because it is not the properly democratic system.
It's a threat to our democracy.
Yeah, it's a threat to their democracy. Well, what people who demand democracy, which is a majority vote, yeah. the majority rules, 51-49, they could be at the losing end real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick. You know, I heard somebody give the example, if you were given a group a democracy to vote on what they wanted on their ice cream sundae, you find out quickly that everybody loses in democracy. Everybody loses in a popular vote scenario because with the three of us, okay, vanilla or chocolate?
Right.
Well, two people have to choose that, and let's say they go with vanilla. Okay, well, the third person loses out. So the next vote is, do you want sprinkles? Well, the person who wanted the chocolate may say, well, yeah, I want sprinkles. And one of the people who chose vanilla is like, nah, I don't want no sprinkles. But the other person says sprinkles. Well, okay, you're getting vanilla now with sprinkles. And when this carries on, what you see is nobody's winning.
Oh, yeah. Eventually.
Because by the time it's finished, it's not the way anybody wanted it. And that's what they're doing with our government, or they're trying to do with our government. You know, you had Joe Biden come out last week in his State of the Union and very, very clearly threaten our Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's no surprise the Democrats have wanted to expand the Supreme Court to 13 or abolish it completely, which they can't do.
No.
If they expand it to 13 under Joe Biden, well, we know that the other four that are going to be appointed will definitely be Democrats.
Yeah.
Or Democrat leaning.
So that would.
Yeah, they just got mad and got their butt hurt when Trump was able to pick, what, two?
Three.
Two or three?
Yeah, it was three.
Oh, yeah, we can't have that. We need to have more than they have.
Right before he left office, he put the, what's her name?
Amy Comey Barrett.
Yeah. Put her in. And
so,
yeah.
Scalise died.
Kavanaugh was.
Right before Obama left.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Mitch McConnell held over the vote, which I don't.
It's kind of a dick move.
It was an absolute dick move.
Like,
because
we get mad at them for doing that.
At some point.
I say we.
Right. At some point, that'll come back and bite.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah. Because then the Republicans did the same thing.
And fortunately, I would say it didn't happen because the I can't even be polite. The dickhead that currently occupies the attorney general's position would have been on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And we see what he's doing to the attorney general's office. It's a circus. So I'm kind of glad, but I know it's our turn. It's going to happen when the conservatives don't want it to. But if they expand to 13, as it stands right now, you've got the progressives are trying to push, I forget her name, one of the justices, they're trying to get her to retire.
Oh, yeah, I'm blanking.
I am too. She's one of the older ones. She's been on for a while.
Well, they're also one, Clarence Thomas. And
well, they're trying to impeach Thomas.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be successful. But
it's just another thing that the Democrats do.
Right.
It's just evil.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and here they are wanting to, quote unquote, save democracy, but then they want to be totalitarian and tyrannical. Yeah. So you open your eyes and you see what they're doing. And I'm not saying the Republicans are.
Right.
You know, God's grace, you know. I'm not,
we see what they did with Scalise's.
When they hold over the vote, that's just, that was a dick move. And like Karen and you said, it's pausing the system. Mm-hmm. And that's just not fair at all.
Just because I don't like what I think you're going to do doesn't mean that I should subvert the system by which it's to be done. I said it then, and people weren't very happy with me, but I think Obama had the right and the responsibility to fill that spot. It didn't happen, you know, maybe we're better off for it, you know, maybe we're not. But it's going to come back to roost, and when it does, the Republicans are going to scream, murder, murder.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to snicker and say, you deserved it.
Right.
Nanner, you know?
Yeah, you can't.
Are we talking
do it.
Sotomayor?
No, she just got put on under Obama.
I'm looking at the oldest ones. We've got Alito, Samuel Alito.
He's a conservative. He's been on forever.
John G. Roberts are the oldest.
Roberts was appointed by Bush. So maybe it is Sotomayor, but she just got put on under Obama.
And she's not that old.
She isn't that old, but...
She was born in 54. Like, I think the oldest...
I'll bet the oldest is Thomas.
Let's see. 50.
No, I think it was his name.
Samuel was 50. Thomas was 48. I think he's the oldest.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And Roberts was
55.
Because
he came in under... Fuck, was it...
I think it was Bush 1.
Bush 1?
I think so.
That's right.
President Bush.
So, yeah, these appointments, you know, the Republicans are going to pay for it, but... When looking at they use this democracy because much like when they did it with the trans issue, sex reassignment.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a thing. You can't reassign something that didn't exist.
Right. And that's a very good example of them using word language to change your thoughts on something.
They did it with vaccine.
That one annoys the shit out of me.
Oh, big time. Big time. Because now, according to the CDC, which if you have any faith in them,
no,
you're wrong. Now a vaccine is anything that could help you, basically.
Yeah. Well, I love how the CDC's come out and said that the symptoms and the issues with COVID are just like the flu.
They finally did that. They
just came out
this
and said
week,
that. I was like, you know, last we were week. Saying that in 20, motherfuckers.
Right. And everybody mocked us and said, well, why are people dying? Well, they're dying because you're putting them on a ventilator.
Yeah. And once you put somebody on a ventilator, it's downhill from there.
Especially when you put people with pre-existing conditions and comorbidities, which I had a hard time getting used to that word, that make them already unhealthy.
Right.
When you weigh, you know, 380 pounds and a 5'5" frame, probably not the healthiest.
No.
Right now, fat.
Yeah.
Is a you can't say it because you're fat phobic. I'm not afraid of fat people.
No.
The only fat that I'm phobic of is the fat that gets on me. That's hyperbolic, but. It's like this transphobic. I'm not afraid of trans. I'm not afraid that you're going to convert me.
The whole point of phobia or phobic is being afraid of something. That's what that word, that part of that word means. I don't know what it's called.
Snake phobia.
I got a snake. I'm a snake phobic.
And a hydrophobic.
And I'm definitely hydrophobic.
But they're taking that phobic and making it work for them. If you're transphobic, you hate trans people. I don't hate trans people. I hate what some in the trans community are trying to do to our children.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't hate that person for doing it. I hate what they're trying to do. I don't approve of it. Doesn't make me phobic. It makes me human to have an opinion. Just as they are. Do we call them deity phobic? Because they don't, you know, they're afraid of God. Well, I'm not afraid of God. He doesn't exist. Same thing, right? Trans doesn't exist. You are a man who prefers to be
You're heterophobic.
You're a man who prefers to be identified as a female person and dress in female attire.
If it was just adults or if it was just that and you guys weren't trying to gender affirm kids.
Right.
And I'm using your words.
You should have seen him cringe when he said that. Gender affirm.
I kind of said it that way too. But that's where we stood our ground. That we're like, no, you can't play with the kids. And I mean that in every way.
Every single way.
You know, so if it was just adults, I wouldn't give a fuck what you did or who you were. There's what's her name? Blair White.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's gotten the...
The bottom
surgery done.
She has not.
Okay. She presents very well as a woman.
Very well.
And I don't have a problem addressing her as a woman.
Hmm.
Even though I know she's got a tally.
And if you addressed her as he?
I don't think she would be upset.
She wouldn't. Because you know.
Well, then you got, what's his name? Leah Thomas. Thompson, whatever.
Thomas, I think, yeah.
You know, that clearly a dude. You can't hide the fact that you're a dude when you're wearing that bathing suit.
Apparently well endowed, dude.
That's what I'm saying. Well, yeah. If you watch clips or if you look at photos, you can tell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can tell.
I guess I haven't paid that close attention, but now I'm going to...
He's got a rudder, you know what I'm saying?
Nice. See, and that's an unfair advantage in swimming.
What I'm saying, you know?
Point that sucker, I can turn on a dime.
Right.
Mine wouldn't even break the water plane. I don't know. It's infuriating that we have made this out of, and it's so Orwellian.
Oh, yeah.
Orwell paints
the fact that in 1950 that guy. That
oh, yeah.
Like, you know, they're telling us back then, this is what they're going to do.
This is the plan.
Yeah.
And this is part of the problem with American culture is that we ignore what's in front of our faces.
Mm-hmm.
And then we act surprised when it inevitably takes over. You look back, and this is a bad analogy probably, but if you recall back when the gay rights movement was first really pushing for gay marriage.
Yeah.
And you had,
it didn't start with the marriage.
No, no.
It started with we just wanted to be treated as a couple so I can go and visit and hang out with my partner
right.
while he's dying or she's dying.
Right.
You know, that's where it started is we want to be looked at as a couple and then.
And treated equally.
Yeah. And it was fair enough. And that got taken, you know, that finally got through and then it was marriage.
Right.
And unfortunately up until, what was it, 15?
I think so. Yeah.
That it was actually legalized to be. And there's still people that say that it's, you know, and Ant, who was on our show, he's a traditionalist.
Yeah, he doesn't believe that gays should be allowed to marry.
Yeah, I don't. I say that if you want to be married and be as miserable as me, go right ahead, sir.
I agree with that. And my parents and I have a fundamentally different view on this because my parents are more traditional Christian. I don't consider myself quote unquote Christian. That doesn't mean I'm not a believer.
Right.
I just don't believe in this religious crap, but I believe that
I don't believe in the organization.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, of religion.
Organized religion. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Because it's corrupt just as much as our government.
It's as bad as, yeah, perfect. I just think that if two people want to dedicate their lives to each other, then the government owes them a duty.
It's in the Constitution.
To recognize them as equal. Mm-hmm. And that means that if, bad example, you and I are a married couple.
Oh, shit.
And I end up on my deathbed, that you can go into not only just visit me, but you have a piece of paper from the government that says we are married. You can make end-of-life decisions. You can make arrangements. You can do all the things that are necessary. Oh, and by the way, the reason that I have the ability to be in the hospital and being taken care of is because we're married, I was able to get on your insurance
right.
through your employer. How is that not a fundamental equal right?
Exactly.
Now, these trans folks are coming in and saying, well, we should get surgery and it should be covered by insurance. I don't necessarily agree with that.
No, I don't either.
If you want to be a male, a biological male, and you want to present as female, good on you.
Yeah, go for it.
And if you want to marry another person who is accepting of your lifestyle, good on you. But when you take that idealism and you start pushing it down into our grade schools, you see, they don't teach in grade school outright a man and a woman when they're teaching their, you know, things. They teach sex ed in a very generalized clinical setting.
Yeah.
The purpose of bringing in a book that tells a 10 or a 12-year-old kid how to perform anal penetration or oral whatever is not necessary, because there's nowhere in our, at least not in the sex ed we took, that they showed us how to do 69.
No.
They didn't even describe it.
They didn't tell us we had
part
to have rhythm.
A only fit into slots.
Don't know why somebody put their nose that close to a butthole, but good on you, you know? It just, trans people are people. I'm not debating that.
No.
There's no argument with me. They are people.
They're humans, yeah.
I believe that in a partial fashion that there's probably some mental underlying issues.
Right.
True.
I don't think that way about gay people.
No.
Or lesbians. And the reason is it's I don't know if it's a choice. I don't know that you're born that way. I don't think it's Maybelline.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's what you've chosen or what you are, what you believe.
If that's what makes you the happiest.
Thank you.
By all means, do what you gotta do.
And if you're trans and you believe that way.
Yeah.
But when you start.
You have our support.
When you start getting drag queen story hour. And you start putting books
as entertaining as they can be.
Oh, hey, listen, I don't think there's any secret. I am a RuPaul Drag Race junkie. Not quite junkie.
No, you are.
No, my wife and my daughter.
Okay, your wife is definitely a junkie. I
enjoy it.
You, what's that word I'm looking for? That you help her with her addiction.
I'm an enabler. I would agree with that. Look, we've gone to drag shows. They are a great adult entertainment.
I don't deny that. They are entertaining as fuck. But I don't think my kids need to, or any kid should have to be.
Agreed. My daughter wasn't allowed to watch it till she was 16.
Yeah.
And I thought that was too young. I lost that vote. But I tried.
You see, democracy failed you.
Yeah, democracy definitely failed me. I've been called up on a drag show stage.
Yeah.
And what I later learned, I was probably the only straight male in the audience.
Probably.
Vegas.
Yeah, probably.
Had a blast, right? It was a great time. But there were no kids in that audience.
No.
They weren't any.
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't let kids.
They would not. You had to be 18 or older just to buy the ticket.
It should definitely be an NC-17 show.
Yeah.
And it was. So when these people come at us, and we've started to get some, I call them our anti-fans. I'm not arguing that piece. You're normal, if that's what you consider normal, is on you.
Yeah.
Just leave the kids alone, man. Pink Floyd wrote the song.
Yep.
Just stick with it. Leave our kids alone. That's it.
Yeah.
Why do we have to buy? But we're buying into these languages of transphobe and heteronormative. What the fuck is cis?
Yeah.
It's a slur to me.
Yeah.
No,
it
I'm
sure
a
feels
male.
Like it is.
I'm just a male. Just a male.
Yeah.
And I am married to a female. That's it. But we have to change everybody's beliefs, everybody's dynamics, and everybody's vocabulary for what? Just so we can make you feel comfortable? Or is it to get the populace to continue the degradation? I think that's probably it.
Yeah.
We had talked about why we, like, early on when this show first started, we talked about why people get so pissed off when somebody doesn't believe something they believe.
I still am befuddled by that. I don't believe what you're saying, I've always, you know, okay,
yeah.
You believe in flat earthing. I'm not saying you do.
No, I understand.
But I won't. I don't buy in. And we can still be.
We can still be friends. We can still drink beers. Yeah. We don't have. But that how many? There was at least one in our group who was an atheist.
Yes.
None of us tried pushing God on him.
No.
There was one that was gay. He never tried pushing anything into us. or onto us that we're aware of.
He made flirtation.
He did flirt, but...
But that's nothing, you know.
Good Lord. I offered conservative aunt a hand job for $20 on the air. Everybody heard it.
Yeah.
And there's everybody who knows me is like, he wouldn't do it. You need to give him at least 100. You know, I mean...
Aunt's probably going, oh, really?
No. Well, I don't know. Everybody has a price.
It's true.
But then we get these assholes in elected positions who want to force illegal migrants into our cities. Nobody's illegal. I'm not saying he or she is illegal.
I don't remember what city it was, just briefly. There's a mayor of this little city was contemplating forcing people to take in illegal immigrants. Oh. If you owned a house this size or bigger, you had to give up some of your space to any illegal immigrants.
You want to piss off 50% of the population of this country real quick? Try that out.
Yeah.
Try that out. You thought,
well, like you said in that one clip, it was, you know, on the clip from Monday's show about they're not asking you to. They're not asking you now to quarter British soldiers. They're now asking you to quarter illegal immigrants.
Right? You think the summer of love with Antifa tearing apart the country physically, mm-hmm. and they're tearing apart the physical locales of these places when they're whatever they're protesting. Piss off 50% of this country, who is the working class, who is the loudest when they need to be. They won't burn anything down. They won't damage physically your property. They will stop spending their money, and they will make it loudly known. Then ask Budweiser how it felt when Bud Light lost a $30 billion market cap. Now,
and it has not returned.
And hasn't recovered. Now, to Bud Light's credit, they still haven't said, I'm sorry, but they're snuggling up. It's kind of like a marriage fight, you know? You know you screwed up.
We're just not going to talk about
it. You knew you did wrong. You knew it was really bad. You're not going to say I'm sorry, but boy, you're going to start kissing ass. And that's what Bud Light's doing now.
True.
And they're going to come back. Are they ever going to recover that $30 billion? No.
I don't think it's gone.
But they're sure trying. They haven't said sorry, but they know they screwed up. These people who are pushing the DEI, the climate change, the tax everybody, the create bigger government, the democracy. They're going to be, you know, they think January 6th was an insurrection. January 6th was a protest that got out of hand.
Much like what was going on during the Summer of Love.
Mm-hmm. Every night for, what, 2.5, 3 months?
3 months, yeah.
None of them got charged. None of them are doing jail time. That's the part that pissed.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were people that got arrested.
A couple, yeah.
Got charged and had to do time, have to do time. But considering how much happened, and you look at what the Gen 6 people are going through,
mm-hmm.
it's a little lopsided.
It's beyond lopsided, right. For sure.
And in a lot of the cases, the cities have had to pay lawsuits mm-hmm. out. For these people that destroyed their cities.
Denver County just paid out something like $13 million, I think.
$13 million, yeah.
To protesters.
LA had to pay out like $28 million.
Yeah.
To people that destroyed your city.
To people that did the wrong, that should have been arrested and prosecuted.
Shouldn't the Gen Sixers get together and sue the government?
Problem is most of them are in jail and they can't organize. Plus they're conservative, and we know how conservatives organize.
That's true.
I just can't think that
we need more gays ants.
Oh yeah. We need more gay ants. We need more Brandon Strocks.
Yeah.
He's gay too. That's not his main point though. But we need these people to come to the Republican Party. There's a gentleman out there, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he has spent the last 2.5 years traveling the country. Scott Pressler is his name. It just hit me. He has been traveling the country for 2.5 years now, registering people to vote, cleaning up communities. This kid, if I had to guess, he's probably mid to late 20s, if that. He has registered more voters. He doesn't care if you register Democrat or Republican. He just needs you to register to vote. He does have a slant. He definitely leans to the right.
That's not the point, though.
It's not the point.
Yeah.
He is doing what the Democrats are really good at. And do you know how much support he gets? Financially, people are taking care of him on the gives and goes and whatnot. But he doesn't get a lot of followings. But if the Democrat, a Democrat, were to do the same thing, there'd be people lined up.
Yeah. What's his name on Instagram and TikTok? Harry?
Harry S. Sisson. I'm sorry, Harry J. Sisson.
Yeah, that motherfucker.
I spend way too much of my ex time motherfucking that kid any way I can.
What's funny is it came out that he was getting paid by the DNC to do these posts. And then it turns out his last, and this is, I'm going to put him on blast because it was his, not his last post, but he put out a post about the Supreme Court and basically said, we need to get rid of this nigger. Excuse me. And he was talking about Clarence Thomas.
He used the N-word.
No, but
it, implied.
The language was such. That we need to get rid of him because he's ruining it. And why, you know, everybody else, almost everybody else on the Supreme Court is white or of another color. But you picked the one black guy.
He did say, you know, I did see a post. Now that you think, I can't remember exactly his wording, but you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was racist
okay,
as hell.
Yeah. I spent way too much time just blasting that kid.
He doesn't deserve the time, in my opinion.
He doesn't, but it sure makes me feel better. I have
there's a lot of people that go after him.
I have a couple of memes that every time I see him post, and unfortunately, every time he does, it's some shitty post. And I just grab the meme, Paige Shill, Harry Sisson, still stupid.
Yeah.
Tall.
And the way he yells at the camera, that's what annoys the shit out of me.
Oh, I've never watched any videos.
Oh, dude. He yells at the
my
camera.
My goal is to get blocked. Seriously, that's my goal.
You could do it with Kyle Clark, but you can't do it with
Harry Sisson. I can get Kyle Clark to block me, and I never said anything to that clown, dickhead. Yeah,
you failed that job.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. You had one job. Before the election, my goal was to get blocked by Harry J. Sisson, and I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but...
There's a couple people on TikTok that are constantly bashing the hell out of him, and he's blocked them. But they have friends that will screen grab them and send it to them. Yeah.
I can't... You know, if you have an argument that you can argue... Let's talk.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to scream and holler and yell and bitch and cry because I don't agree or because I give you something that you can't reflect off of and make a valid argument against, then shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
We used to be able to have those discourses.
Yeah. A lot of our age people, we were able to talk shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not find an agreement,
right?
At least find the common ground of saying, okay, we're never going to agree on this. So,
but I respect you for what you're believing,
yeah.
And I respect that you respect my belief, even if we don't come to an agreement, which it's like everybody, there has to be a finality. And if that finality isn't reached, then you're no good.
Yeah, you're stupid.
What?
Yeah.
You know, go back to that Garth Brooks song. We're all part of the human race. We can just be, don't be a dickhead.
Exactly.
Seriously, don't be a fucking dickhead. I never thought that would be as catchy as it's become.
It was almost trending for a little while there.
Seriously?
Yeah.
We got to work hard on that one.
Hashtag.
I think we have to get rid of the unrefined guy's amendment just because when I look at it, it's not quite like the anal bum cover, but it's close.
But I don't use that one. I just use
don't be a dickhead.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just our signature going forward. I don't know. Be kind to each other. Look, I don't have to agree with what you believe in to be kind to you.
Oh, no.
You know, we look at things like these fucking whack job climate activists. So just the other day or last week.
There's another example of changing the language.
Oh, yeah.
Because back in the day, it was something else, and then it turned into this, and then it was global warming, and now it's climate change. because that's more
fitting. Right. So we were talking about in the 70s, it was
oil crisis,
and we were going to run out of oil. In the 80s, it was acid rain. In the late 80s, early 90s, it became the ozone layer. Then it was global warming or global cooling for about, I don't know, 6 or 8 months.
Yeah.
And then it went to global. Yeah. Then it went to global warming.
And they ran with that for a little
while. And they've been on it.
And then we were freezing our butts off. And they're like, oh, no, that's not what it is.
Climate change.
Yeah.
So Karen pulled up a graph that she showed us of 250,000 years of
800,000
years. And this thing looked,
of carbon dioxide levels.
Yeah, this thing basically looked like a regular old EKG.
Yeah.
Your heart beats, and then it doesn't. Then it does, then it doesn't. It goes up, it goes down, and they were almost at the exact same levels. Like you had said, they were. The climate is cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it ebbs and it flows, and there's no difference. There's nothing in that chart that showed anything happening out of whack that would have made it an alarming situation.
Nothing.
But just like the beginning of the show, we had that old-ass clip of a guy saying, be careful because this is what they're going to do to you. This came out, I don't remember the exact year. I want to say it was the early 90s. And you'll recognize the voice, but hear what he has to say.
Barely a week goes by, but what some researcher tries to scare us or trick us out of research money by claiming that the sky is falling. And with the willing complicity of headline-hungry media, a recent crisis of the month had to do with global warming. An ozone hole is opening up over the United States, we were told. The effects of which were already measurable in an increase in skin cancer. On the contrary, destroying chlorine around the polar vortex has been declining since January. A major objective of a recent shuttle mission was to determine the scope and scale of the so-called ozone hole, and the silence since has been deafening from those whose livelihood depends on creating crises. Recent data from the Upper Atmosphere Research Satellites affirms that any problem is less. It's not greater. Ozone levels fluctuate all of the time, partly because of volcanic activity and solar flares. But MIT's Technology Review has made an exhaustive study of worldwide ocean temperatures since 1851, has concluded that there appears to have been little or no global warming over the past century. In fact, the net rise in world surface temperature during the last century, which was about 1%, almost all occurred before 1940, and that was before aerosols, and that has since been reversed. Former NASA chief Robert Jastrow and former Scripps director William Nirenberg, past president of the American Academy of Sciences, Frederick Seitz, all have concluded in a scathing rebuke of those who make money by predicting global warming, quote, if we allow ourselves to be influenced by press release, we could spend $1 trillion over the next decade destroying what's left of the American economy in an utterly unnecessary attempt to repeal the Industrial Revolution.
Just like that.
Man, I love that guy. I miss him.
That guy could probably read me rap lyrics.
Right?
Oh. And it would just soothe my soul.
My favorite part was now for the rest of the story.
So this speech was given in 1992.
Okay.
And he said a couple of really key things that if you start to look, maybe you'll start to wake up and realize we are being programmed.
Well, there's always been the belief that if you scare the people, frighten the people, they're going to be easier to control and manipulate. So they're scaring us by saying, oh, the world's going to end in 10 years if we don't start doing something now. And that way it's easier for them to pass legislation.
Well, and so they do stupid things. Like, I remember right about this time, I grew up with asthma, and I had an inhaler. I haven't had to have an inhaler for years now, but right about that time, they decided that inhaler's bad.
Yeah. The propellant in it.
And they had to change the propellant. So what I used to be able to get for like $4 that would last me a month for, you know, a little micro
puff
yeah. of medicine. Now it was costing like $30 a month. It didn't just quadruple it, like 4 times, 10 times it. So that they could save the planet. Because my inhaler, along with all the other people with asthma, was going to destroy the planet. Like, you...
Much like the plastic bags, kind of?
Yeah.
So, 1992 was in the height, and I use that term purposefully, of the hairstyle movement.
Yes. Yes.
That was back when...
Which is coming back, by the way.
It is, unfortunately. This was back when the young ladies in the high schools and middle schools would... The higher the front of your hair, the better.
And the men.
Yeah, the men.
Men did it...
Okay, that was in the 80s. The hair bands used their fair share.
Hair bands, let's just leave that alone. Okay, we're not here to bash the music.
Don't touch that.
About the hair or the music.
Either.
But she is right because, you know, you had the likes of Bret Michaels. You had...
The girls in Poison were amazing.
Oh, they were great.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look at even like...
Motley Crue.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. All of them...
All of them.
There's a famous brand.
Like, yeah.
You youngsters, go ahead and take a look at Aquanet.
Aquanet.
Now, we grew up in a very, very...
We used Aquanet for different reasons.
Right. That we grew up in a very Hispanic neighborhood.
Very.
In a very Hispanic town for all intents and purposes. Yeah. And the kids called Aquanet something different. And there was a reason for it, but nonetheless.
I forgot about that.
I did too. The hairspray never came in a pump spray.
No.
They had hairspray that was like the size of a small fire extinguisher that were run by propellants.
Very strong ones, too.
So they decided that those propellants were causing a hole in the ozone, and they had to get rid of them as much as possible. So most places took those bottled and canned stuff and made it so it was a pump spray.
Yes.
I don't disagree with that. It worked.
It was easier to breathe in the house.
It was far easier to breathe because when your mom or your sister used a half a can of that to hold their hair up 7-8 inches off of the forehead, if they used that propellant, you smelled it all the way on the other side of the house.
Less likelihood of catching your hair on fire while you were smoking.
Right? do I disagree that that was bad to do? Not at all. But do I believe that it was because of that the climate changed greatly?
No. I never bought into that.
Not at all. This climate change thing is for twofold reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, it's to get companies rich because to produce a solar panel is expensive. To produce a windmill is expensive. To produce anything that doesn't use plastics or oil, it's going to be rough. But they cut back on it. So they control the population, don't use anything that has an aerosol push to it. Oh, okay. So they tax the shit out of us. They started taxing us for climate shit back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And as you heard Mr. Harvey just say, there hasn't been anything that's changed. Now, the scientists will tell us that the ozone layer hole appears to have closed more. Well, I've flown a lot. I'm not sure what... Wouldn't there be a big black spot if there was a hole?
Right.
You'd be able to see out to the darks.
I understand what you're saying.
Or shouldn't it have been, you know, like burning ants with them?
Right. Wouldn't there be a brighter spot
right?
when the sun got to that point? It sounds like horseshit. I'm not saying it is. But it sounds like it. But how easy is it to scare people if you use big words that nobody understands? You bring out people who are supposedly experts in this. Have you ever listened on the news and somebody said, well, an expert in such and such, here's what they had to say. And you kind of found yourself listening to them and going, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's happened.
How the fuck do you know they're really an expert?
Yeah.
Because
this guy tells me so.
Yeah, this guy said he's an expert, so he must know. Well, okay, I'm a paid plant by so-and-so. I'm going to come out here and tell you such and such, and then blam.
Yeah.
That makes it.
When the pandemic happened, there was this doctor. And when I say doctor, I mean PhD.
Mm-hmm.
She was a doctor in microbiology and a PhD in microbiology and a bunch of virus stuff and stuff like that. Virologist. She was a PhD. And she, when the COVID thing came out, she got fired and got basically expelled because she was like, you know, this coronavirus is the flu.
She was a big dog in NIH.
Yeah.
I did read about that.
And she got basically excommunicated from everything because she wasn't towing the line. She was telling everybody, no, it's not like that at all.
They were going to sue her. Mm-hmm. They made her give away all of her papers. Like from what I understand, she's still under a gag order.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they're the big pharma companies, the big three that got all the money from the pandemic, have put her on a gag order where she can't talk about it anymore. And that came down from, you know, Fauci.
And that's where the discourse thing comes into play.
Yeah, but because she was saying and being this huge expert and had all the paperwork to say that she was this expert, saying opposite of what everybody else was saying.
Dr. Peter McCullough, who I believe was the creator of mRNA, came out early and came out hard saying this is not what that's supposed to be used for. Dr. Robert, his name just slipped out of my head. They went after these doctors hardcore, but why did people like you and I feel a particular way about these people? Well, because we saw the media saying these people are dumb.
Yeah.
And early on, guilty as charged, I went, why would I listen to this guy? But then McCullough and Malone, Robert Malone. So I started listening, and then Dr. McCullough was on Rogan. And I was like, oh, Rogan's going to give this guy a platform. Let's see if Rogan just tears him apart. And instead, Rogan went, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
And I went, are they shitting me?
Well,
that's like when I had my wake up.
Yeah. Well, like Harvey was saying about those scientists that back in 92 were like, we're fine. The world's fine.
There's nothing happening.
And those are leading experts in the field.
Right.
And they kind of got shut down and disproven or whatever, disavowed. That's the word.
Or disavowed, yeah.
And but their studies and everything proved the opposite of what the narrative is. That's the word I was looking for.
It blows my mind that we as a society still believe what we see on the news.
Some of us.
Not those listening to this podcast, obviously. Not those that think for themselves. Not those that do their own research. But unfortunately, the lion's share of our community, of our population, they turn to the local news, then they turn to the national news, and they just... And I used to be guilty. Oddly enough, that's why I've become so conservative, was because of my early news bias that, you know...
What was your wake-up moment? What was the one thing that... Because what happened with me is I caught them lying to me, the media.
Mm-hmm.
And I, ever since then, was like, no, I'm not listening to you guys. I'm going to dig into this myself, you know, before I make past judgment, I'm going to look into this myself and see if you're valid in what you're saying. But I'm going to go look at all the sides,
right?
Not just what you're telling me to go look. I'm going to go look at all the sides.
This is embarrassing somewhat, but it was local media that opened my eyes in about 2000. And it started in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully went, yeah, fuck you, in 2009. But I started digging. I started looking. So I had become the association president of our little association at work. Not something I was looking for. I happened to show up to a meeting when the rest of the board quit, and I was the only one left. And so by default, that made me the president. And under normal circumstances, I would have just walked away. But there was a room full of people there because there were some things that needed to be addressed. And for whatever reason, the board resigned. I later found out why. So I sat in that position, and I was pulled in to a meeting with a local elected official and asked what the temperature and the climate was of our of the employees. I gave him a very full-throated, here's the state of where we're at. And I got some advice from this politician that was pretty sound. However, I also knew that that politician was self-serving.
Yeah.
Not, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. Most politicians do what they do for two reasons, votes and money. Both are self-serving, but they have to do some things to stay in that position so they help the people in the process. Long story short, I ended up, as the association, we took out a full-page ad, and we slapped around a couple of politicians. We paid for that, so it was printed as we wrote it. About 2 weeks later, a week later, there was an article in the paper from one of the politicians, or one of the writers, one of the journalists who covered local politics, and he had sat down with some of these politicians that we had smacked around, and he never reached out to me to get our side of this. He never reached out to anybody on our side. And so I called him up and I said, hey, Peter, come on, man. I thought you were better than that. He's like, oh, I'm coming. Nothing, didn't hear from him. And basically what happened is we pull out this full-page ad, got a lot of attention. He gets a rebuttal from them, but doesn't come back and let me or anybody from our camp talk about the allegations that were made against us. We worked as county employees, and the county commissioners were not very employee friendly, and we called them out on it. So that was what started me saying, oh, okay. So because they're going to be sitting in those chairs for 4 years or whatever their term is, you're just going to blow off the people who took the risk and not be able to rebut what those people had just said about us. And so I started really doubting it. And then as I got a little bit higher in the ranks in other areas of the association, I started to see the politics, and I started to know what happened by being at a particular place at a particular time and seeing the spin that the journalist put on it. And I said, no. And so, I mean, that was where it was the eye-opening for me. And then I stayed in some type of that political business for too many years afterwards.
Right.
Way too many.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was in the mid-90s, and it was a news story about one of my brother's friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the news story, what happened is the cop showed up at his house. Yeah.
I remember this one. Okay.
And it was totally misprinted or misreported, because they say that he pulled the gun on the cops and the cops shot him to death, and that never happened.
He didn't even own a weapon, did he?
He did.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't in his truck where he was shot.
Right.
It was in the house. And yeah, so the media just totally lied and then just ran with it, and you know, it wasn't fair to my brother's friend at all.
It was the same media too.
Mm-hmm.
Same newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not just the newspaper. It was right. The local station.
Local stations.
Yeah.
That opened
my eyes, and I was like, okay, these motherfuckers don't have a problem lying.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, and we beat this dead horse all the time. It's up to us to do the footwork. And I get it. The footwork isn't always glamorous. It's not fun. But it's your life that's in the balance. And, you know, that sounds so grandiose, but everything these people do affects us.
Oh, yeah.
Every vote they take impacts us somehow. Every bill that they try to push forward has an effect. Even if it doesn't hit you directly, somehow or another, you know, when they lock this country down for COVID, they carved out exceptions
for the huge corporations,
for the big corporations and the moneymakers. I'll never forget. I was downtown Denver at about 3:15, the day that they announced that they were going to close down non-essential businesses for a short time. And I remember
30 days or whatever,
something like that. And I remember the governor's speech saying something to the effect of that, like your Walmarts, your grocery stores, the specific grocery stores,
right,
liquor stores,
mm-hmm,
and one or two, I think churches weren't quite on that list yet. Those were exempt from this.
I don't think liquor stores were to begin with, but they were added within a day or two.
Well, no, it was the weed stores that got added.
Okay.
Because I thought that was ironic. I thought, oh, they'll leave the liquor stores open. Yeah. Weird. But they're not even going to leave the weed stores, because I remember coming home that evening and watching Kyle Clark, dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a camera showing the lines at the weed stores, because everybody was like, we're not going
to
be able to get weed.
Right.
Shows you where Colorado's priorities are. And there were lines, and the governor came out later that evening after that 5 o'clock news and says, you know, the weed stores, we're going to leave them be as well.
They're essential.
Yeah, they're going to have to. But meanwhile, you had little corner grocery store, mom and pop stores. You had the Mexican cantina stores.
Yeah.
Or
I can't even say it, so I'm not going
to
try.
Yeah, I can't remember. But you had your Italian markets.
Yeah.
Those weren't essential.
No, they got shut down.
You had small businesses.
My sister had a coffee shop.
Right.
They were shut down. But Starbucks was open.
Starbucks was open as long as you went through the drive-thru.
Yeah.
This was a moment
fair, man,
where I realized this was beyond fairness or unfairness, and this was all about money. Because Walmart, Amazon, Starbucks, these are all big corporations that pay lots of money to lobbyists and give lots of money to politicians, but the mom and pop shops, the only people that suffered the most through the pandemic, and ultimately they're the only ones that ended up losing their livelihoods. They didn't give a shit about them.
No.
They didn't give two whacks about them. You had Nancy Pelosi in the middle of this call her hairdresser,
yeah,
and set up an appointment, and the hairdresser has to go in and open shop just for her. And then when it's caught and it's out in the open, has every excuse in the book, because it's not about health. It wasn't about concern. No. It was about control, and it was about corporations flexing to show the American people that they could control everything they did beyond advertising.
And the part that annoys the shit out of me is those people that were in charge, Biden, Pelosi, they're not held accountable for what they did to our country.
Nope.
Until this year. Now you can hold them accountable and get them all out of there, because what they did to our country, and it wasn't Donald Trump, as everybody will say.
Right.
He, at the time, to give the guy some credit, he did what he thought was best for the country at the time.
Right.
Should he have done some things differently? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But he didn't shut down the country. It wasn't him that shut down the country.
That's
the misnomer, is everybody thinks he's the one that, you know, shut down.
He gave the powers where they belong.
The cities and the municipalities.
The state and local governments.
Yeah.
And that's where it should have gone?
Absolutely.
Now, Donald Trump initially did say whatever that first wave, he said, if that's what cities and states want to do, we support that and we will help them make through it. It's just 15 days. Well, Donald Trump, no, he didn't. He used the information that was given to him by those so-called experts around him.
Right.
Now, the one thing I've criticized Trump for, and I'll never stop, is Anthony Fauci.
Yeah.
Now, I get that Fauci was supposed to be. He turned out not to be. And I think everybody realized within the first couple of days, Anthony Fauci was full of shit.
Yeah. very, very early on.
Trump should have booted him then. He didn't. We don't know why. We'll never know the real reason. But he did everything else the best that he could. Now, when Biden came in, he continued those lockdowns. He continued those restrictions. And he started the mandates.
Yeah.
Well, it was never mandated. Oh, it was. Ask how many military people lost their jobs. Ask how many corporation employees that lost their jobs because they wouldn't get the mandatory vaccine.
At my job, I had to show my papers, my essential employee right. papers. I'm essential, you know, because where I was working mm-hmm. at the time. I had to show it like twice or three times, leaving the yard where the truck was to go to the, go pick up the trailer. I got pulled over by DPD just to check my papers.
Weren't there some trucking companies that did mandate the vax?
There were a few.
I just thought they that
tried.
Was stupid.
They tried, yeah.
And you know,
considering I'm in the truck by myself.
Right. That's that was my big thing is if you're not talking or interacting with anybody. One of the things that irritated me about, well, many things about the lockdown irritated me, but it was this stance of we never mandated it. No, but you talked about the mandate enough that you got right. enough corporations and enough businesses frightened
yeah.
that if they didn't follow your rule, there was a business that was in, I don't remember what state, I think it was like Pennsylvania. The guy has a restaurant. They're allowed to operate to certain parameters, but they weren't allowed to operate their bar. And this guy had gone in and he was doing inventory and he'd done a video or something. On social media, you know, some kind of a post where he was talking about what he was doing. He wasn't serving anything, but there was a poured beer. I think I'm getting this story mostly right. There was a poured beer on the bar that was his. He was drinking it while he was doing inventory or whatever it was he was doing.
No and way.
Just last year, Pennsylvania State Police and somebody else came in there and cited him. And he lost his liquor license for 45 days.
That's fucked.
Because he operated outside of pandemic
guidelines.
Protocol.
The whole thing is about controlling the masses.
Real quick story. Oh. When I was at this company during the pandemic, where I was an essential employee, the company, the corporate offices, had come down and said, y'all are going to need to get vaccinated. And we came back, all of us drivers came back and said, no, we're not going to. Well, if you don't, you're going to lose your job. You can't come to work if you're not vaccinated. Okay, well, tell us how that goes for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then like 2 days later, they're like, you know what, guys, it doesn't matter if you get vaccinated or not. Come on back
that
to work.
That story should somehow be our guiding light. A corporation or your employer or whatever can come to you and say, you're going to do X. Or your government, perhaps. You are going to do X. Well, if everybody caves, that's a pretty easy give.
Yeah.
And if you're going to threaten, well, if you don't, then this will happen. Okay, well, then you're going to have to do it to a lot of people. But if nobody caves or a majority don't cave, that's why this government thing just has me blitzed because we are all on our hips. I mean, the government is literally standing on our backs and we're propping them up. But if we all stood up, they'd all fall.
Yeah.
And the sooner that we as a country can realize that, that's when the healing can begin. And I truly think you kind of hit this when you were going into it eloquently too. This year, this election cycle, this ballot that's coming up in November could potentially be the pinnacle where we stand up and say enough's enough.
Yeah. I mean, or you can even boil it down more simply. If you want to get revenge on these motherfuckers that screwed you over during the pandemic, here's your chance.
The best thing about this one is, and this is what people need to do. If you plan on voting and you hear your friends say, well, the polls are already saying X, so why should I go? That's exactly why you should go. Because in 2020, many Trump voters stayed home.
Yeah.
Because the polls were showing Trump ahead. Well,
yeah, before midnight.
Right.
Trump was winning.
Then at 3:04, that weird bump in numbers. Yeah. But yeah, if
I quit watching the polls at a certain time because it looked like he was going to win.
Right.
And then I woke up the next morning and I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when I woke up, I was really, it was very melancholy.
It was.
Because all I could think is, look, I know that most people are at least at my level, if not higher.
Right.
I can see what a dumb move Biden would make. I could see how bad of an idea that was. And I know most people have got to be at least as smart as me, if not smarter. Boy, was I wrong.
Apparently 85 million, you know, or and now million, I'm
looking,
whatever it was.
I'm looking at these Biden supporters still today. You had Joe Scarborough from MSNBS the other day saying with a straight face that this Biden that gave the State of the Union, Biden? Yeah, this Biden that just gave the State of the Union was the sharpest, most fiery, and most some other bullshit that he had ever seen him
do. State of the Union did he watch?
I'm trying to figure it out. Either that or you watch Magic Mike. I don't know.
Maybe.
But Joe Scarborough has just been nothing short of a panderer.
This State of the Union was pretty highly rated.
Yeah, it was.
But I think it was more people were tuning in, kind of like we did, just to watch the car wreck that was going to happen. Yeah,
what kind of stupid shit is he going to say?
When is he going to fall down?
Right. I was hoping, this is bad.
Because he's got steps getting up to that podium.
I was really hoping he would stumble up the steps. I didn't want him to fall or get hurt. I just wanted him to stumble up the steps just because I thought it would have been classic.
See, told you.
You could have changed the channel early on because he fell up. There's nothing better now.
His hip hurts now, so he's not going to want to talk for
a while. Look, I really think that we are in a good place. Right. And this is odd for me to say. But now that we know who the nominee is, now that everybody's out and we know that Trump is the presumptive nominee.
Yeah. And the fact that we have to say that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, if they play by the rules, he should be the nominee.
Right. If they play by the rules, I think he'll be the president.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not sure that they're going to do it. And that's why
that's the problem with the government we have now is they're not exactly playing by the rules.
We have to make it so incredibly difficult for them to cheat that if they had to cheat and they did cheat, it would be so obvious because the numbers are so skewed. But we got to do that. And now that we know that Trump's the nominee, and we know for now that Biden's the nominee, and really it shouldn't matter to anybody who the Democrats put up. It shouldn't matter. Now that we know Trump is the nominee, we as a whole have to stand up and start getting people, take people to the polls. You can't buy people necessarily, but if you have family members say, hey, listen, let's all get together and go vote, and after we vote we'll go have pizza or you know,
whatever. Yeah,
make it a family affair or a friends
everybody
a friend's
that's
group.
Of age and can legally vote, then I think that's a great idea. Everybody gets together and go vote.
Let's go vote, and then afterwards we can go to a movie.
Although I hate being around other people. So
I do, too. That's why I forced myself this primary, and I'm going to force myself this coming election. I'm going to go in and vote. Colorado's had this mail-in voting forever.
Yeah.
Years.
Oddly enough, I thought it worked until I started to see what the whole mail-in voting thing was, and now I wonder if it does.
Working at the post office, seeing some shit. Yeah, I'm going inside and voting from now on.
I think it's best because you know that you did it. Mm-hmm. You know what you put. You double-checked it, and you were able to slide it.
And you get to
box.
Stand there and watch them count it.
Right. I think it's just it's better overall. But this is a time now. We know who the nominees are, and now it's time to encourage everybody we can. And look, show people the proof. Don't just tell people. Show people where to get, and you don't have to make it adversarial. You know, Aunt Shirley could say something to the effect of, well, I don't like that Donald Trump said all those white nationalists are very fine people. And you don't have to go, oh, he didn't say that. Or you could say, well, I don't know that.
That's how
I don't know
said,
about that, but let's pull the video up and let's watch what he really said or whatever. You don't have to be controversial or adversarial in any way. And you also need to just keep in mind that your job is not necessarily to change people's minds.
Well, speaking of jobs, we don't work for them.
Correct.
That's the mistake everybody makes. We don't work for the government. They're supposed to be working for us. So this is where we tell them you're fired.
That you couldn't have put that any better. You know? I mean, and maybe we get Trump to say that on Inauguration Day.
That would be great.
That'd be beautiful.
I don't know if he can. I think NBC owns the rights.
Probably. So much stuff to go through. And we've only got, what, 7.5 more months?
Oh, darn it.
So much can happen.
The campaign ad started.
Oh, I know. They're terrible.
Fuck.
We should probably put together a parody campaign ad.
You know, that's a good idea. We're the Unrefined Guys, and we approve this message.
Yeah. None of the above. Support what we do. Become a member. It's because of you that we do the work we do, and we'd like to continue to do it. Head over to patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained. And pick one of those fine levels that you can support us at. With your support, we're going to do some other things, some cooler things, and you might even get to see our ugly faces on video sooner. Also, head over to any of our socials.
Leave a comment.
Follow us. Leave a comment. If you'd like us to cover a topic on the show, just let us know. Like Wednesday's Tug.
Yeah.
We took a listener tag suggestion on that. Yeah. It was pretty good. Pretty good. Oh, yeah. Ravencrest Tactical sponsors our show. They're our only sponsor.
You guys got to check them out.
Check them out. Head over to our website, theunrefinedguys.com. Go to page 2, which is the contact support and sponsors.
Yeah.
And click on the link there. And for a short time, when you check out, enter the promo code TUGS, T-U-G-S, TUGS. And you'll get an extra 15% off just for the Unrefined Guys listeners. It's Friday. It's the weekend.
Have a good weekend, y'all.
Take care. I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.